website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day as we face the issues. We'll be talking about an issue today that's very prevalent, one that is very obvious for the discriminating eye to look at and see what is happening, confronting the anti-God agenda. Confronting the anti-God agenda. Immediately after Trump's inauguration, immediately following his signing of dozens upon dozens of his executive orders to fulfill his campaign promises, we have those that are anti-God, anti-morals, anti-values, anti-Americans that are confronting President Trump. In fact, I'll talk about it further in the broadcast. I believe it is now 22 states that have converged upon the courts to file suit against President Trump because of the position of the borders control apparatus now that says that you can't come into America, give birth to a baby, and call that baby an American. And then following that, then mom needs to be made American. Then following that, it's what's called chain migration, where brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, can be called in to become Americans on chain migration because what used to be called, they've given it a new term today, used to be called anchor babies, the 14th Amendment. We're going to talk about that during the course of the broadcast today, along with other issues. The lesbian, Episcopalian, female bishop that hates Donald Trump made statements about him having to be wanting to remove him in 2020 when he was president and President Trump 45. And then my question is, who put her on the agenda? Who allowed that to take place? Who made the decision that is now seen as a major mega error because what she said is antithetical to biblical truth? It is against the word of God. It is immoral, unholy, ungodly. And for a supposed bishop to make that kind of statement? Well, number one, you see her values. Number two, you recognize immediately that she is unbiblical, anti-God, anti-scripture in what she says and does. But ladies and gentlemen, what we've been witnessing for the past couple of days, promises made and promises kept. President Trump is what I call off to a running start. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to see it. He's off to a running start. He's keeping his campaign promises. Although the majority of the conservatives and Christians and patriots in America approve President Trump's focus on the restoration of morals and ethics and values, we must recognize there are some people that just do not want to honor God. There's some in society today that could care less what God says and God's word says. So it behooves us as Christians, as those that are ethical and have values, biblical ethics, biblical values, that we trust in the Word of God, that it should cause us to think more deeply about the need to pray for Trump, ask God to continue to give him wisdom and strength and insight and counselors around him to guide him and direct him to make decisions that would honor God. That's what we'll be talking about today. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Right after the brief monologue, we'll open the telephone lines, invite you to dial in, ask your questions, make your comments. Do you think the lesbian, sodomite, bishop, female bishop from the Episcopalian Church, which is almost no longer considered a biblical denomination, do you think that she's right or wrong? What is your position on it? What does the Bible say? I don't care what anyone thinks or says or other denomination may say. As we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We do not face the issues based on our own recognizance. We do not face the issues based on some denominational dogma. We do not face the issues day after day after day on this broadcast based on some philosophical rhetoric. We do not face the issues based on political assumptions. We base our decision and challenge on this broadcast each and every day on the truth book. What does the Word of God say? And I'm reminded of John 8:31-32. Where Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. How long is forever? Very simple. Forever. The truth of God's Word does not diminish with time. Truth of God's Word does not need any updating or modification or revision. The truth of God's Word stands without any adding to or taking away from. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, it is sad to say but true. The statement and the words from George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, when he said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it, is factually true today. You find what Adam Schiff is saying. You see what Chuck Schumer is saying. You listen to what is being said from the Marxist media. And you understand they have no recognition or reverence for the truth. There's a mindset somehow, some way today in society, ladies and gentlemen, that you can come up with your own truth, but you can't come up with your own facts. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a move today to diminish the truth. I go back to the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Headline I'm looking at, DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. End quote. Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. But ladies and gentlemen, according to the recent survey, 55% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, reject absolute truth. I'm looking at the headline that says, most younger Americans say there is no absolute truth. In fact, further in the article, it states 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. You can't come up with your own version of truth. I've said before, you've heard me say before, and I'll say again at the risk of redundancy, a half-truth is a whole lie. There are a lot of folks today that will try to convince someone that what they're saying and doing is true based on a statement that supposedly someone else said, but they'll bifurcate that statement and make it a lie. I'm always amazed at individuals that will try that they say, this is what I'm doing, and this is why I'm doing it. This is what he said, and they'll give half the statement. It's a half-truth, which is a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Says, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. live the truth and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day. My challenge is for you, our listening audience, to seek the truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. In fact, right now, you would have, listen, you would have thought that after all we've been through and after all that's been said and done, after all that's been revealed and proven, that the socialist Marxist media had made up so many things, they'd carried the lie for the Biden administration and for the Biden spokespeople, you would have thought that they would have learned a lesson. But it seems as though they're today digging in their heels and remanufacturing that which they believe to be factual and stating it, ladies and gentlemen, as though it's true, and it's an absolute lie. I'm amazed at what we see. I'm amazed at what others are saying as they're being interviewed by the Marxist media. Just with the few days, couple of days now, that President Trump has been president because of his executive orders, because of his stand on, what I call stand on truth, morals, ethics, and values. There's a mindset that we can undermine that and destroy that. Seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn it. Love it. Live it. Tell it. And be able to and ready to defend it even to death. That's the challenge that I put forth each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer all of your questions about the professional, as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time, and atop that flagpole flows 24/7 Old Glory, the U.S. flag. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, do you want to see morals and ethics and values back in government? Do you want to see morals and ethics and values back in our classrooms? Do you want to see morals, ethics, and values back in the marketplace of ideas in America today? I do. Even though we need to understand we'll never have a complete biblical truth in our system of governance, we need to recognize and recall, bring back to memory, according to the scripture, God created government, civil government, to be his servant. That is, God's servants, to prosecute evil and to protect good. But I think we have devolved so in American society under the Biden administration and previous administrations that could care less about God, could care less about the Word of God. I think because we've devolved to such a point that there's no absolute out there in the morals, ethics, and values, that somehow, some way, we've come to believe that we need to be satisfied with that form of government. And that's simply not so. I'm thankful that we had enough people in America that wanted morals and ethics and values and our system of governance in America restored to a biblical concept that's found in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and in the Declaration of Independence. All of our founding documents, ladies and gentlemen, our founding fathers focused on morals and ethics and values in the formation of what we call America today. I believe it's time we get back to some biblical basics in our system of governance. And I believe that's what Trump is attempting to do. But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what we want as the majority, and I call it a majority because the majority put Trump in office. President Trump went into office with the majority of the Electoral College vote. He went into office with the majority of the popular vote. And what we wanted, he said he would do. He's in the process now of doing that, and that's the restoration of morals and ethics and values. We must recognize that there's some people that have no interest in honoring God. A good example of those that are anti-God, anti-morals, and anti-America, as I see it, was on full display from an Episcopalian female lesbian bishop when, rather than carrying out her responsibility, she chose to try to embarrass, demean, challenge, frontal challenge to President Trump. Why is that so? Because one of Trump's executive orders is to end all LGBTQ and DEI transgender policies in the government and in our schools and in every governmental office. Now, I don't know if you watched that or not. I did. I'm looking at a headline that said, "Woke National Cathedral Lady Bishop Blast Trump from the Pulpit." The Washington National Cathedral has become the sanctuary of Satan, this writer says. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the golden age of the Todd Starnes Show. Thank you for watching, is the introduction to this article. Earlier today, the Bishop of the National Cathedral called out President Trump to his face during a sermon at what was supposed to be a national prayer service. Now, listen to the setting. If you didn't watch it, you can go online and probably find it. But as you watch it, it was supposed to be a national prayer service. Now, I don't know who put it together. I don't know who is responsible. Whether it's the President Trump's transitional team, or it's the inauguration team, or whether it was just simply part and parcel that someone pushed in there that was not knowledgeable. I pray that some people get canned for allowing this to take place. But nevertheless, this female lesbian Episcopalian bishop said this: "In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. They're gay, lesbian, and transgender children in the Democratic, Republican, and independent families. Some who fear for their lives. The people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in the restaurants and work the night shift in the hospitals. They may be citizens or have the proper, may not be citizens or have the proper documentation, but the vast majority of the immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes, they're good neighbors, they're faithful members of our churches and mosques and synagogues and temples." This article goes on, she's an Episcopalian, which these days is should barely be considered a religion. "I have a few questions about her lecture," this writer says. "What about having mercy on those killed by the illegals? What about having mercy on the families of Lake and Riley, like Lake and Riley? What about having mercy on children who've been medically mutilated in the name of the rainbow flag?" By the way, not a single evangelical Christian leader was invited to speak. My question is, this writer says, why? Anybody find that strange? And yet Bishop, this female lesbian bishop who openly called President Trump to be replaced when she was behind the pulpit, what made that decision? What put her in that pulpit? Franklin Graham blasted the bishop during an interview on national radio earlier today. Quote, "This whole national cathedral has been run by the last number of years by people I would call gay activists, and it's unfortunate that our national cathedral has fallen into these hands," said Franklin Graham, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned when we see that happening and when it seems to be hush over the audience and where most people are being silent about this. I believe it's time we speak out, speak up, be heard, and be seen. It's a stench in the nostrils of God to advocate for a sin that God's word has condemned and, according to Genesis 19, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and other communities around it because of the sin of sodomy. It's called Sodom and Gomorrah. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the lineup in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. It's part of the lineup of those that will die and go to a devil's hell. And yet you have one that's in a regalia as a robed delegate from God that wants to tell our president that he's made an error, he's made a mistake, and it needs to be compassion and mercy. Now listen, I'm not saying there ought not to be compassion and mercy on anybody, but I'm saying it is the wrong setting, the wrong place, and the wrong message, because we need to go back to the fundamentals of what does the Bible say. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have one of our four sons. Greg is on the line. Greg, thank you for taking time out of an icy day up in the southern tip of heaven to call in. Thank you so much. What's the temperature there this morning?
Well, it has warmed up, 21 degrees.
21.
We don't have snow on the ground as apparently Pensacola does. So you folks in Florida, you're getting you get some interesting weather. All those global warmers have nothing to fear today because it seems like, you know, the planet is freezing over right now.
That's good. I like that. Yeah, I got some video footage from Congressman Hill that was out in Pensacola and showed his yard and the grounds and those about him in his community with what looked like a pretty good fluffy layer of white stuff. And I'm thankful that we did not wake up to that right here in Jacksonville. It is a clear day, a cold day. It's supposed to get colder by the afternoon and tonight. But I'm thankful we didn't get that sleet and snow as so many did. I'm thankful for that. Greg, thank you for taking time to call in and let's discuss this. What are your thoughts in relationship to this female, lesbian, Episcopalian, bishop? Was it right? Was the setting appropriate? What about what she said? How should we as Christians and conservatives take that? And what should President Trump do?
Well, when I see a false teacher take the pulpit, I'm inclined to stand up and walk out so the whole world sees what I'm in agreement with or not in agreement with. And I'd say that I'm going to spin this around on you. You know, being the senior theologian on the air right now today, take these words, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and kind of disambiguate that for us in the text contextually. You can go down a line of text on unity or on truth, because the woman doesn't know what the word unity is about in the scripture, clearly. The woman doesn't know what the word truth is about in the scripture, and she admits in the midst of her 15 or 20-minute homily that she has confusion on truth. You know, go back and listen to it, folks. I didn't say it. Mm-hmm. She said it. You know, sometimes truth can't be, you know, easily determined, can't be easily discerned. And when we're talking about the truth of the Word of God, tell you what, folks, that's where it is. Go through her little homily again. See where she quotes Scripture, references Scripture. It's not there. She has a determined opinion and disdain, and her unity is a one-way street. You need to unify with my message is what she's saying. You need to unify with the LGBTQIAP plus minus divided by agenda, or you're a bigot. I mean, that she didn't say that, but that's what she said. So, but back to the point. If you can, you know, wrap some meat around that, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, is it applicable in this situation or no?
Absolutely, and you're quoting from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following, and it says this: "This know also that in the last days, perilous, that means dark, dangerous, deadly, disgusting, devastating times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." And that's where she stands today. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of their own, those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the Bible says, from such turn away. Now, she had on that regalia, that robe of, how would you say, religiosity. She has the title Bishop of the Episcopalian Church, which is Todd Stern says has almost become a non-Christian denomination today. But there ought to be something that is done about it. In fact, Trump demands an apology from the blasphemous bishop, the woke kind of conversation that you had, and I don't blame him at all. I believe there needs to be a demand from her own denomination for there to be an apology. I believe there needs to be an uprising in America for that apology to come forth. And President Trump is right in demanding that there be an apology from her from what she has said. Now, Greg, I'm in your corner. As I sat and watched Vance look at Trump and Trump look at Vance and Vance look over at his wife, and then the two of them sitting there like with a look, what do we do? I would have turned, if I was President Trump, if I had been in his position, I would have turned and suggested to my entire entourage, let's get up and walk. They would have made a statement by just simply standing up and walking out of that kind of, quote, meeting. It wasn't a service, wasn't a worship service, wasn't a prayer service. It was everything, nothing but a political statement, a dogmatic statement. And, Greg, what gets me more than anything else, perhaps, on that is her statement. Let me just read that again and touch on it. And she says there, in the name of our God, have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. Now, here's the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Here's the LGBTQI plus divided by, as you said earlier. And they have had, they've shown no mercy. They've shown no grace. They've shown no sense of embracing the normal standard of morals, ethics, and values. But today, their mindset is to force their immoral, ungodly, unholy standard on society. And until Trump's walking into the Oval Office, that was being pushed in kindergarten through high school and colleges and universities. That was the mindset that the woke LGBTQ agenda and the DEI agenda must be pushed in the classrooms of every age group, where the sodomite agenda was proclaimed to be the right moral ethical standard. And now Trump has gone in and he is changing that standard back to what I would call a biblical standard of what morals and ethics and values ought to be. So here's a lesbian against God, against God's word, portraying herself as being something that she's not. She is the epitome of a false teacher, as you touched on in your introductory statement. She's the epitome of a false teacher. And I believe that it is necessary for every Christian, every conservative, every patriot to hold Donald Trump's hands, President Trump's hands, and demand that there be a public apology for the stand that she took and the position that she was taking it in. Now, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with any preacher, any place, any time, touching on the morals and ethics and values in the political arena and what politics are doing and what they should not do. But I do have a problem with that being in that setting at that time of demeaning President Trump and his entire entourage before his face. What say you?
Well, it is perverse to call upon or to declare the authority of the Word of God. And that's when you step into the pulpit, folks. That's what's being declared, either verbally, directly, or indirectly. You're saying this, I'm delivering what the Word of God has to say. And she's taken the Word of God, twisted it, and perverted it. The Apostle Paul, if he were standing there, he would say, let this woman be accursed. That's right out of the Scripture. She is preaching, she is teaching, she is delivering a different gospel. And when I say a different gospel, it has to be the whole counsel of God. You can't pull out three words and develop your own doctrine around those three words. And you have a whole bunch of sloppy agape out there, as my younger brother would say many times coming up, a whole bunch of folks that have declared God is love. Well, folks, God is holy. God is just. God is sinless. He sees the reprobate for what we are, what sin is. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that he sees us as anything other than condemned sinners. And and to not call out sin is a problem. What's worse is to embrace sin and say, we need to unify. And that's what she said. I want you to go to her closing remarks, her pointed, finger pointed at Donald Trump. She says that we need to unify around the LGBTQIA plus minus divided by. By the way, I stole the plus minus divided by from Ben Shapiro. That really well. But, the reality is she cannot find defense for her position within the Scripture outside
none
of
whatsoever.
Yanking. Right. Well, you yank half a verse out of context, and you can start, grabbing hold of some kind of sloppy agape, oh, God is love stuff. God is love. God is Absolutely. Love. He is also
Greg.
He is also
Greg. Hold your thought for just a moment if you've got time. We're at the top of the hour for the news break. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, W.